In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, already after Theophany, we are entering into the period before Great Lent. This is the Sunday of Zacchaeus, which means five more weeks, and Great Lent begins. Now, it's not accidental that the Sunday of Zacchaeus is in that preparation period, sort of the unofficial period, because the actual Lenten Triodion begins next week, but because the Sunday of Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus a publican, and the next week is a publican and Pharisee, it's part of the preparation period of Great Lent. And there's not a mistake about that. So let's look at this gospel, which is really very rich, in the light of the period that it's in, and what we should be doing during Great Lent to prepare for Pascha. Now, you could talk about Great Lent in terms of repentance and fasting and that sort of thing, and we should. But what are we going to be celebrating Pascha? Obviously, the resurrection of our Lord, and therefore our resurrection. That is, changing from death to life. And Zacchaeus is an example of someone who was dead and became alive. So let us see his life and see how it would apply to our own. Because after all, that's what the gospel is for, right? And gospel doesn't mean just the four books of the evangelist. Gospel is the good news. So you can find the gospel in the Old Testament also. So, Jesus is going through Jericho, which is a sinful place. Remember the story about the Good Samaritan? He's going from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jericho's down in the valley. It's a sinful place. It's a hot place. It was not at Jerusalem, away from Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a symbol of blessedness and holiness. So he's in Jericho, and he is walking away, and lots of people are crowding him, and there is a very bad man there, Zacchaeus. Luke goes to some effort to tell us what kind of man he is. He says he was not only a publican, but chief among the publicans, and he was rich. This chief among the publicans means he was the worst of the worst. And the publicans, as St. John Chrysostom said, they made their living on the tears of the poor. So he more than anyone else. And so he was very rich. And with this wealth comes depravity, because he gathered it in an unclean way. So he used it in unclean ways, certainly by drink and by bribery and by all kinds of sinful things. But he had something in his heart that was longing for Christ. He didn't know yet exactly what that was. He still was a terrible sinner. After Jesus had left Jericho, if he had not seen him, he would have gone back to the friends of the poor and living off the tears of the poor. Because he was dead in his sins. But there was something that made him want to see Jesus. Perhaps it was only curiosity, but I don't think so. Certainly many people were curious about the Lord because he was a happening. There was exciting things happening around him. So there was a buzz around him. And people wanted to see him, wanted to see, are these things that people say about him true? Maybe he'll do a great miracle. Maybe he will put the Pharisees in their place. We don't really like those people. So people were looking for Christ all the time, whether they were really seeking him or just to see him as a piece of entertainment. But Zacchaeus had something in his heart that was ready to change. Obviously, because he changed when the Lord saw him in the tree and told him to come down. He didn't say, just come down. He said, make haste to come down. All this has deep meaning. So we have a rich man a bad man who has done many sinful things in his life and is basically unaware of his sinfulness. Ignorance. Dead. But there's a little piece of life in him. So he, because he's small, has to climb into a tree. This is not because he was only 5 foot tall. This is an indication of his smallness because of his sins. His inability to reach God because of his sinful condition. So he climbs up into the tree, hoping to get a glimpse of Jesus, not expecting that Jesus would actually see him or take notice of him. In fact, probably hoping that he wouldn't. And Jesus, of course, knew what he was doing, and he went to the place and he looked up. Because our Lord knows when we will repent, and he will be there for us. And so he says, make haste to come down. This is very important. Because there are basically these two conditions of man. There is the condition of the one who is unrepentant, unknowing about his sins, blind, like Zacchaeus. And then there is the time for repentance. And that is the time we must make haste. That's the time we must come down. Because the Lord wants to abide in our house, that is, in our soul. And so Zacchaeus did that. He came down quickly. And he was so happy. So he arranged to entertain the Lord at his home and have a feast. And of course, there were a lot of bad people that would come to that feast because Zacchaeus knew a lot of bad people. But Zacchaeus, there's something in his heart that was changing now. It was still in its infancy, but the Lord had accepted him with all of his sins. He didn't say anything about, you must stop defrauding the poor. He didn't say anything about his evil actions. He didn't rebuke him. He said he would come down, but make haste. Tell him to come down, but make haste, because he would abide in his house. Because the Lord knew that Zacchaeus was ready to repent. So then we have this dialogue where there are people who are saying, this man, if he knew who he was, who Zacchaeus was, he wouldn't come into his house because he's a terrible sinner. Zacchaeus hears that murmuring, and then there's a change that occurs in his heart, almost like turning on a light, although it's really not like that. I think we think of it sometimes as this immediate enlightenment. But enlightenment comes by degrees. Remember the man who was blind and the Lord healed him a little bit? And the man said, well, I see men as trees walking, right? And then he did something else, and then the man could see. Well, our spiritual healing is like that. It comes in a little bit by degrees. So Zacchaeus, when he brought the Lord into his home, had not resolved to say, I'm going to repent of everything I've ever done. But he was just happy to be in the presence of someone who he knew was holy, who was accepting him. And so there was a sense of openness that Zacchaeus had, because the Lord merely accepted him. That's a really good lesson for us. We don't have to endorse what people do when it's sinful, but we must accept them as human beings. We must say, come down. And the Lord will fill them in his time and also with their cooperation. But we can't just throw the book at them. We can't just say, that's a terrible sinner. I wouldn't be with that person. Because that attitude will turn people off. The Lord didn't do that. The Lord went and ate with publicans and with sinners. That was a code word in those days for prostitutes, many times. And he went and at the well with the Samaritan woman, who was considered lower than a dog by Jews. So we should also do the same thing. We must accept people in their humanity. Not in their sins, The Lord didn't do anything about saying, Zacchaeus, it's okay what you're doing. Because that would come later. When Zacchaeus' heart turned. And hearing the murmuring of the people made Zacchaeus suddenly realize his sins and what he had done. And so, he was a Jew, a bad one, but he still knew the law. So he said that he would give the half of his goods to the poor. But then, remembering that he defrauded people and got enriched because of his defrauding people, and the law has words about that. It says, four sheep for a sheep. The man kills a sheep and eats it. He is to give back to the aggrieved party four sheep. And so he said, and if I have taken anything from any men by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. So here he is now, being willing to follow the law. And not just the law about sheep. This is not about sheep. This is about following the commandments. Following the way of life. He was prepared for it by the Lord, merely looking up and saying, make haste, come down. And by Zacchaeus listening. And so, the Lord said that this day salvation has come to his house. Now, how does this apply to us in the context of Great Lent, which is coming upon us very quickly? Well, as a pastor, I see in two main problems. You can always divide people any way you want, you know, in three categories, two categories, one category. You can always kind of artificially do that. But here's two general categories that I see. There is when people are blind about their sins and don't see them, don't notice them. And they're not thinking in a spiritual way, so they don't see what's wrong with their soul and how dangerous it is for them, the condition they're in. And then there is when people are struggling against their sins and they lack confidence. Now some people, really courageous ones, they, no matter what, no matter whether they fall again and again or not, they never lose confidence that the Lord will help them. But the majority of us, we lose confidence. We look at our life and we see how little we've done. This is after repentance now. The majority of people don't repent, including people in church. They barely know their sins. Okay? But I'm talking about now people that have realized stuff is wrong with them. And it kind of sticks to them still, like mud to their shoes. It's very hard to get off. And as soon as they get it off, they get more mud. And so we think that, well, since we're continuing to do this sin, we must not really be really repenting. On one level, that's true. Certainly, St. John said, you know, when you no longer even want to do a sin, then you've repented from it fully. But the Lord will receive Zacchaeus and he'll receive us. And as we are able, we will get better. Zacchaeus didn't get better all at once, you know. There has been a comparison made many times to Zacchaeus and the publican in the Pharisee and the publican, or the publican and the Pharisee, which next week. Because the publican, who was repenting, kept saying, oh God, cleanse me a sinner. So Zacchaeus was going to be like that publican. In fact, some people think he is that publican. And he would fall, and he'd get up. And he'd fall, and he'd get up. And he'd get into his bad habits again, and then he'd get a little bit better and have a good streak going. And then he would do something stupid again, and maybe for a long time. But if there is desire to change and confidence that the Lord will help us to change and will not abandon us because of our sins, then we will change. And really, Great Lent is more about allowing God to come in than it is about repenting of all of our sins. we must open ourselves up to God. Now, you can't be open to God if you're sinning. You can't be open to God if you're blind to your sins. You can't be open to God if you don't really care very much. And if you're lazy. That's all true. But another thing that keeps us close to God is that murmuring of the crowd. And that crowd is inside us. That murmuring that says, why would the Master be with a sinner? Well, why would he? Because he came to seek and save that which was lost. So the story of Zacchaeus should be something that enkindles in you a flame. Or let's say it should add to the flame that is in you, make it even brighter and warmer. That indeed God will receive you. Okay, you've got a lot of sins now. Stuff you don't do right. Sometimes stuff that you're not even sure if you want to start doing right. Well, then pray that God would help you to want to change. And He will help you. Now remember, that's a dangerous prayer. If you ask the Lord to help you to repent, He will. But repentance comes from struggle and from enduring temptation. Now, to endure temptation doesn't mean to be completely unscathed by it. It means to fight against it and to get up after you've fallen. And we see Zacchaeus became aware of his sins and began to make restitution for his sins. He saw the gravity of them. We only see a piece of his life here. Later on, it was going to get tough for him, because he was going to remember all the terrible things he'd done. And he was going to be desiring the bad things that he'd done before. Especially the things that were deeply embedded in him as passions. It was going to be tough. Just like it is for us. But if we allow God to fill us, there will be happiness. Yes, Lent is about repentance, absolutely. But it's more so about allowing God to forgive us. That's a hard thing to do. I struggle with it. I just know that the majority of you, if not 100% of you, also struggle with it. It's part of the human condition. So, let us learn to forgive ourselves. Now, how we do that is by struggling against our sins. Falling, getting up, falling, getting up. And the Lord will give us confidence. Just like He did to Zacchaeus. All He said to Zacchaeus is, make haste to come down. So now it's time for us to come down. And perhaps we're aware of many of our sins, perhaps most of them, but not all of them. And some of us are less aware of our sins. There are things that we do, say, attitudes we have that are just not godly. So as these things become, as we become aware of these things, we must also have this confidence that God will receive us. This is what the story of Zacchaeus especially should tell us. God will receive your repentance, but you got to have it. You got to give it. God does not receive the repentance of someone who does not give repentance. But He will dry the tears of those who sorrow because of their sins. Just as He would help Zacchaeus, He'll help us. So brothers and sisters, see the story of Zacchaeus as your story. Okay, maybe you're not as bad as he was. Or maybe you're worse. Because we've been given the light, the truth. What do we do with it? But as you're thinking that you're worse than Zacchaeus, and as I was speaking of yesterday, that we believe that as St. Paul says, that this is a saying worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. As you begin to really believe that, there's a backlash that happens. There is the murmurings of those who say, why would the Master want anything to do with you? And as you hear those murmurings, you must have a way to struggle against them, to see that he accepted Zacchaeus, he'll accept us. So may God help us to repent, and then as we repent, to not lose heart, to not lose courage, to know that the Lord will receive our repentance. He will help us. He will not leave us orphans. He doesn't tell us, do something and then not help us. He will help us to repent, just as he helped Zacchaeus. May God help you to repent and to have happiness.